In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is a great text, Colossians 1, 1 to 14. It's actually enough for three or four sermons. First, the final three verses, 12 to 14, lay out the story of salvation. Here's what they say. Giving thanks to God who has made you sufficient for a portion of the inheritance of the saints in light. God, who rescued us from the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Look at these verses backwards, so to speak. Verse 14, in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 13, on this basis we are transferred to the kingdom, the reign and rule of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 12, he has made us sufficient for a portion of the inheritance of the saints in light. In other words, we are redeemed and forgiven, now under Jesus' lordship, and we have an inheritance still to come. Second, we can see what this means for us generally right now in verses 3 to 9 of the text. Verse 3 speaks of thanksgiving, the very first thing any Christian does over against his God. In verse 4, Paul mentions the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus and love for all the saints. Notice how these two are linked, faith in Christ Jesus, love for all the saints. No faith without works, no works without faith. They're both tied together. Next, the foundation for all of this is hope, as mentioned in verse 5, something in short supply in the Roman Empire in the first century AD. Notice that the basis for this hope is the word of the truth of the gospel. Here, Paul is similar to his protege, St. Mark, who also emphasizes the word, Jesus's word of promise. In Mark 16:7, at the very end, the young man at the Easter tomb says to the frightened women, go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Finally, in verse 9, we see that it's right never to cease praying. This orients us toward God and his will, not toward ourselves and our will. But what does all of this mean for our daily walk in the promises of the gospel? Let's focus on that, in the time remaining, verses 9 to 11. Paul asks that the Colossians be filled with knowledge of God's will and with spiritual understanding, verse 9. Why? That they might walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being empowered by his glorious power, which gives endurance and long-suffering. Note what's being described here in these three verses. Sanctification. Note what's not being described. Not worship. Not witness, not even scriptural study, sanctification, holy living. And it's not hard to see why. Such holy living is evidence of the new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. More, such holy living is not only evidence of a new creation, it's incarnation of the new creation, an instantiation of it. Even more, it brings that new creation into existence now, ahead of time, in history, before the full end of time. Otherwise expressed, it provides a foretaste of the new heavens and the new earth, which will be fully seen and fully implemented on the last day, but in sanctification, now already in history. What a privilege this is, and what an opportunity. Which of us should not be absolutely excited to participate in this work? Not one, not if we understand the magnificence of Paul's vision laid before us. So listen to these words of St. Paul written so many hundreds of years ago, and make them your very own as you await your full inheritance with the saints in light. You will not be disappointed. In Jesus' name, amen.